remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer during when you're not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, City of Beaverton, Commissioner Tivnan?
Here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah?
Here.
TBWD, Commissioner Duggan?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. This concludes roll call. All other attendee will be recorded using Microsoft Teams participant list.
Thank you very much, Jeanette. First on our agenda is a general manager's report. Mr. Kraska will now present the general manager's report.
Great. Thank you again, Chair Duggan, and good afternoon, commissioners. And so off we go with the general manager's report. As seen in the outline here, I'll be talking about communications and permitting and communications updates, our quarterly financial report, planned business agenda items for our next meeting, and a WWSP and construction progress update. So getting into the permitting and communications update portion of this, those efforts remain very active, and attached to this general manager's report is a tabulation of the permits and approvals recently granted and status of those currently in progress. A couple of permitting highlights to share with you are that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers approved permit modifications for the Tualatin River Temporary Discharge Facility and the minor grading repair needed for the Metzger Pipeline East MPE 1.2 at the launching shaft for Lower Fano Creek Trenchless Crossing. So two great achievements for us in terms of keeping our work moving forward in those projects. The City of Beaverton approved all night work needed for the remainder of the construction of our MPE 1.3 project. That's our project in Shoals Ferry Road, west of 217, all the way back to Roy Rogers Road. And it's been a tough project. The City of Beaverton has heard a lot of noise complaints from the residents that are along that project. And we really appreciate everything that Beaverton's done to be a good partner in this and help us through this. And understanding that the night work, though it's challenging, for many, it's really the fastest and also the safest way to get this project done. So we really appreciate the support there. At this time, staff no longer need to seek approval from Beaverton each week for that work. Now moving on to our communications updates. The communications team has focused outreach efforts with the neighbors along the pipeline west, which is our PLW 2.1 project, in advance of pipeline construction in the Orenco Woods Nature Park. Recent activities include holding the third regular stakeholder meeting to respond to public questions and explain the upcoming construction activities. Team also shared the measures in place to allow wildlife to move around the staging and construction areas and how they are protected from the construction activities per the Wildlife Protection and Adaptive Management Plan for the Orenco Woods Nature Park. WWSP will be installing 900 feet of pipeline through the eastern edge of the Orenco Woods Nature Park, and construction is anticipated to take 1 year. Staff recently concluded phase one of the water supply integration, also termed WSI, a communications planning project, which began in March. The larger WSI effort is helping partners to prepare for the introduction of the new Willamette River supply, which includes technical work for system preparation, as well as developing communications outreach tools. The introduction of the new water supply provides an opportunity for us partners, the WWSS partners, to simultaneously and consistently communicate with the customers. Coordinated messages, processes, and approaches will maintain trust with all of our customers, build community confidence in the new water supply, and proactively inform the public about the potential water changes and any actions they should take in response. Brown Caldwell, BC, was issued a short-term contract to facilitate two communications-focused workshops with the partners' communications and water quality staff, which occurred in April and May. Workshops were designed to facilitate alignment and develop recommendations for the overall outreach approach, guiding principles, shared objectives, and future implementation. With the information gathered from the workshops, Brown and Caldwell produced a technical memorandum that staff are using to inform an upcoming request for proposal for consulting support to develop joint messaging and an outreach toolkit for the partners. A copy of that technical memorandum is attached to the general manager's report. Moving on now to the quarterly financial report. Everything looks good there at the close of fiscal year 23. But reading on here, task 4D of the annual work plan requires a managing agency to prepare a quarterly financial report and provide them to the WWSS Commission Board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the WWSS Commission's quarterly financial statement for the period ending June 30, 2023. Now moving on to our planned business agenda items that are coming up in future board meetings. The approvals and procurements forecast presents WWSP activities that have recently been approved or are scheduled for approval over the next 3 months by either the WWSP director, WWSS general manager, WWSS committees, or the board. Currently, there are no planned business agenda items for the September and October WWSS Commission meetings as shown in the attached forecast. September board meeting hold will be canceled. The forecast currently shows a tentative business agenda item, which is the Water Supply Integration Communication Plan Toolkit and Engagement Plan, for the November board meeting. It's not known whether the value of that contract will warrant board review and approval. Therefore, currently, it appears there are no business agenda items for the October meeting and possibly one business agenda item for our November meeting. We will contact board members no later than 2 weeks prior to the October meeting to confirm whether we should hold either of these board meetings if there are no business agenda items. So I'll reach out to you sometime around mid-September, give you an update on those business agenda items and whether we should hold a board meeting if there are no business agenda items. And then finally, in this general manager's report, the WWSP construction progress update. Attached to this report is a tabulation of the status of all the construction projects. To provide a more complete understanding of the work underway, we will share a presentation of recent photos from the construction sites. This month, we'll also present an analysis of the total spend for fiscal 23. A copy of the presentation is attached to the general manager's report. So I will now move on to the presentation phase of this, of my part of the meeting, and off we go. So moving on to the first thing that I want to talk about here is the fiscal year 2023 spend analysis. And there's some important things that I want to cover for you here that are important to understand. So let's go ahead and get into it. So on the first slide here, we're doing an underspend analysis. That's the main reason that I'm bringing it to you today, is that our underspend in fiscal 23 was pretty significant. So clicking on to the next bullet here is that at the beginning of fiscal 23, so back in 2022, we forecast that we would be spending about $431 million in our total costs on the program. That includes our program management, construction management, you know, kind of our system-wide costs, as well as all of the construction activity occurring all over Washington County. Now that we've just concluded fiscal 23, click on that next bullet there, the actual spend was $280 million. So quick math there shows a delta there of $150 million. And so the concern is this a concern? Is this something that we need to worry about? And so the team has done some digging and in terms of where the underspend is, and it goes into these categories. There are some things that actually cost lower than what we had in our budget. So that's actually good news. That's a good way to do underspend. In some cases, the differences in this underspend is how our P6 schedule, that's our program that we use for scheduling our construction activity. If the schedule that's in that model, in that software, and how it's different from the contractor schedule. Basically, P6 uses a trapezoid as its schedule program. It assumes a linear ramp up in construction activity, and then a horizontal across, and then a linear ramp down. Now, we all know construction projects don't go that way, and the construction schedules, the contractors can vary pretty differently from something that looks like that, and that's the driver for some of this apparent underspend. So that underspend actually isn't real. Projects that are behind but are on track to finish on time. So there is some underspend that is due to projects being behind, but all of those projects are forecast to finish on time, and so we're not concerned about them. And then there is one project, however, that we do have some schedule concerns, and I want to walk you through that one as well. So let me present some more detail for you on this. We'll go to our pie chart here that shows basically kind of divided up there all the categories of underspend, and each of these numbers is in millions of dollars. So all of this adds up to the majority of the underspend, there's a chunk that's not shown in this graph that's really the management the management reserve that we did not spend either. But let's go ahead and click into the first one there, which is the $10 million, and that's our system-wide. So system-wide is things like our overall construction management costs, program management costs, permitting, real estate, things like that. If we look at all of the underspend in those areas, we're below by about $10 million. And by and large, that's money that we're just not going to spend. So that's work that was completed under budget, and so that's actually real savings. So it's actually good news. So no concern there. The next one is kind of lumping together all the other projects. All the other projects with small amounts of underspend, that adds up to about $5 million. A lot of that is due to the difference between P6 schedule and the contractor schedule. Part of it is due to Washington County being a little bit slow on getting an invoice to us. POW 2.1, our pipeline through the Arinkowitz Nature Park, that one has gotten off to a slow start, but it is underway now, and it's going to finish on time, so we're not concerned about it. And in other cases, it's underspend on contingency. So each fiscal year, we expect we're going to spend a certain amount of contingency on all of our projects. And if we don't spend it, that's actually a good thing. So again, this $5 million I'm not concerned about. We're tracking it, but it's not a concern in terms of our completion on time or anything like that. Next up is our PLM 1.0 project. So that's our pipeline project in Wilsonville. And that one, again, $6 million low. And the two reasons driving that is the difference between our P6 schedule and contractor schedule, and also that this one was really, really difficult to get the permits that we needed through Wilsonville. And so that caused a six-month delay in our project. Our contractor is making great progress now. I've got photos to show you the progress that we're making in Wilsonville. And that one, it's going to be a push. That one's going to be a challenge, but I have no concerns about that one finishing on time as well and supporting our commissioning activities in time. So next up is a $16 million underspend, and that's for our raw water facilities project. Again, there's some issues between our P6 and the contractor schedule, and the biggest of this here is that we had anticipated in our schedule that the contractor would be purchasing some of the electrical and mechanical gear in the last fiscal year. They actually had it scheduled for the next fiscal year, and so that's the bulk of the $16 million that was underspent. It just is the difference between how we anticipated the contractor spending the money versus how they actually are spending the money. This project is on track for on-time completion. This one as well, we haven't used any project contingency, which is, again, a great outcome for us. And again, no cause for concern on this project. The next one, $20 million underspent, is our NPE 1.0 project. So that's our pipeline that I was just talking about down Shoals Ferry Road, all the way across 217, then up Allen, up Western Avenue. That one is the difference between our P6 schedule, the contractor schedule. About $1.5 or $2 million worth of work is forecast to happen in this current fiscal year, fiscal 24. That's going to happen in the fall as our connection to the West Washington County supply line and Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. So that's about $1.5 million of this $20 million. The bulk of this $20 million, though, is that MPE 1.2 is about 2.5 months behind. So this one is a bit behind, but it's been a very difficult project. And a lot of the reason that the project is behind is because we've had to wait for various utilities to relocate their fixtures that are in our way. Currently, right now, or just recently, we finally got agreement from PGE for them to relocate one of their power poles that was in our way and a transmission line that was in our way for our crossing at Fano Creek near Allen. We finally got that approval, so we're finally get that underway. This one again, we're gonna complete this on time. I'm not concerned about this. It's just that the work is happening at a different fiscal year than we had planned. Next up is our PLM 4.0 projects. So this one, it's four projects, PLM 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. Three of those are partner projects with Washington County. And so we are basically stuck with Washington County's schedule on this. And all of the Washington County projects are roadway projects that we also have our pipeline happening in with it. Now with these projects, what's happened on them is that a lot of the roadway work is done first and then our pipeline work. And so that's caused some delays in terms of when we actually have to spend for our pipeline work. One of the bigger chunks of this project is the PLM 4.2 project. It just going to get started with the pipeline work in about a month. And so this one I'm not concerned about again. All the contractors are on track for finishing on time, but and part of it, and we've also underspent on contingency. So again, across the board, all of these projects, yes, underspent, but doesn't mean that we're not going to finish on time. No, doesn't mean that we have other challenges. We have a lot of challenges with these projects, but nothing that's going to impact the overall performance of what we're trying to get done here in the Willamette Water Supply Program. So the one that is worthy of concern is this last one, and it's our water treatment plant project. So that one is $35 million behind. And part of this is the first bullet there is P6 versus contractor schedule. And so our schedule actually showed that they should have spent way more than $35 million. So the $35 million is the real underspend. That's actually per the contractor schedule. You see the second bullet there is actual underspend is less. It's less than what we had anticipated. We expected they were going to expend quite a bit more, but the real underspend is about $35 million. And this one, the contract is showing late completion. So the schedule that they've provided to us show them finishing the project in 2026, not 2025 when we need them to allow us time for all the system commissioning, startup, and water supply integration, and everything that we need to do to fire up the system properly. So this one is a significant concern, and this one's getting all of our attention right now. Before I go on and explain the attention that we're applying to this particular project, I'll stop for a second and see if any of the commissioners have any questions for me about the information I've shared so far.
Any questions so far? Please continue, David.
Well, I'm sorry, I was being courteous. Of course I have a question.
Okay, go for it.
So, Dave, since this is a $1.6 billion program or whatever the latest number is, a few million here and there can kind of not seem by much, but I am bothered by the fact that we were supposed to be spending $430 million and we underspent by $150 million. That's a lot. Why are we just now hearing about this? I realize it's the end of the fiscal year, but I'm thinking you and your staff knew these things were happening before now. And I'm trying to think of my role and our role as a commission here. We're talking about not even having a meeting the next couple of months because there's no items on there. And I'm thinking, well, aren't these the types of items we should be discussing on a regular basis or at least getting a report on? Because this isn't good news to me. You keep saying we're going to finish on time. Well, I think you mean the 2026 finish. We still aren't spending and getting the other things done when we need to, and now I'm real worried about 2026 because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to need to wrap up around that timeline in order for us to get done. Hope that made sense.
It did entirely, and it's absolutely appropriate, everything that you're saying there. So let me explain briefly, and then I've got a couple of slides that will also help some of the storytelling. So one of the things that I try to do, I try to hold myself and everyone around me to account, is that bad news doesn't age well. And so I want to share bad news as early as I possibly can with you and also give you context in terms of what we're doing about it. And so, yes, we were tracking underspend in the months leading up to this. I've got a graph that shows that, at least for the water treatment plant project, but oftentimes in the 8 years that we've been running the program, is the fiscal year we'll get off to kind of a slow start and we'll see some ramp up over time and then a kind of a big spike toward the end. And so we've gotten I've gotten used to that and expecting that and seeing that it operate that way. Didn't happen that way this year. The water treatment plant started underspending around November, December last year. And I knew everything that they were doing to try to get things on track, and they still hadn't. All the way through, they started ramping up around June, frankly. And I just had a conversation with the executive with the general contractor yesterday to get his commitment about fixing things out there. And I'm confident that they're doing the right things. But so the issue is what I'd like some feedback on in terms of going forward and improving our operations, improving how I communicate with you. Is in this particular situation for fiscal 23, I watched it happen basically and trusted the team and everything that we're doing to manage it and track it and everything. And then I made the decision that now was the time to bring it to you. So even though it's been about 8 months that we've been tracking this significant underspend and watching it grow, it wasn't until now that I'm bringing it to you and telling you what we're doing about it. Would you like me to make it part of my regular presentations on a monthly basis, or whatever frequency you would like in terms of how the spend is tracking and just kind of this sort of information about what we're doing on each of our projects?
So, because I asked a question, I'm assuming I'm the first one that needs to answer here, but yeah, I'd like to kind of be kept up to date a little bit. You know, I think to myself, if I had known each of these pieces of information earlier, would I have done anything different, or would this board have acted any different? You know, probably not. That's why we have you and your team. But you guys have to decide what the action is and work with the contractors and all that stuff. But this does seem like a big deal.
It is.
I mean, to me, it is a big deal. And yes, but even if we don't have it in a meeting, at least some briefings once in a while, because I think that's what our role is as the commissioners to this WWSS project and what we need to be thinking about doing from now on for the next who knows how many years. That's my opinion. I'll let the others, I'll shut up.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying that we're having trouble spending all the money quickly. I don't remember being tied to this particular project or in the way that y'all ended, but I remember you flagging that there's just a ton of money. And the question that I have is around the contractor for the $35 million underspend. Is it that they just simply don't have the capacity internally to turn over this work as quickly as possible? And does that mean that they're outside the contract? Like, did they oversell themselves? Because I know sometimes that's a thing, that companies really want a project and they, through magical thinking, convince themselves that they can do it, and it ends up that they're the dog that caught the car, and they don't have enough staff, and they don't have enough PMs, or they don't, you know. So it's, I'm just wondering, is there any recourse to bringing on another team, or to, I don't know.
So if I can,
how do you speed this up?
Yeah. So if I can respond to that in particular. It is a lot of money to spend. It's a lot of work to get done in the time that we have to get it done. And we have 14 active construction projects, and that's how you get spend more, is you farm it out to more contractors, and we've done that. And I'm not hiding anything from you, being as transparent as I possibly can, that the only project I'm worrying about spending all the money and finishing on time is the water treatment plant project. All of the rest, we have those things that are beyond our control that are challenging, such as some of these utility relocations and things like that. But we're working our way through all of them, causing some delays, but still we have float on those schedules that we'll be able to finish on time. The treatment plant really does not have as much float as the other projects, and it's behind. Councilor Tivanon, you offered a couple of things about bringing another team on or finding a way for them to accelerate or changing our operations in some way. At this point, with 2 years left, basically, for them to get this work done, it's really not functional or feasible to bring on another contractor. We really need to work with these folks. We need to get them to perform. They have a contract. You have an agreed upon scope of work. You have an agreed upon budget to get that work done, and you have an agreed upon schedule to get that work done. We all know through complex construction projects, things change, things happen during the prosecution of them, and we need to adjust accordingly. Sometimes it means change orders and things of that nature, and working our way through all of them. I'm going to get into it in one of my slides coming up here. There was one big impact on the front end of the project that did cause some delay. And what had happened was, it's an old story, but with COVID and all the related supply chain interruptions and labor chain interruptions and everything else like that, there are some materials that are just really hard to get. It turned out that one of the pipeline materials that we used in the design of our treatment plant is a specific type of ductile iron pipe that has a specific joint type associated with it. We can get that pipe, but it's going to be 2 years from now when we get that pipe. And that didn't come to realize until like we're bidding the work and everything and trying to get commitments from all of the manufacturers and all the material suppliers and everything. It's like, when are we going to get this? And it's like, that was one. There are others. Transformers, electrical, all electrical gears, switch gears, VFDs, all these things are really hard to get. But the one that was most impactful to our schedule was this particular ductile iron pipe. So it caused the team to have to re-engineer it, try to find out what material is available and make sure that that material is available and how to redesign our facility to accommodate that material and still get the work done. And so that caused some delay. And the contractor's working through just how big a delay that is, what does it mean, how do things get resequenced and everything else like that. So that's caused some disruption. In my conversation, and I should note that Clark is still on the line here, and some of the stuff that I'm talking about here, I probably need to be careful about how much I get into it in a meeting like this. And some of this information probably should be shared in executive session, and if we need to, in terms of some of the conversations I'm having with our contractor and what we're doing. But the conversation I had with the executive at the with their general contractor yesterday, he committed to me that they are behind, and some of it is theirs. Some of it is that they got off to too slow a start in this project, and they own that, and they understand that they need to find a way to make that up. And with a Gantt chart, a schedule that's thousands of lines long, it's going to take them a while to sort that out. And the next slide I believe I have for you here is the process that we're going to use for sorting that out and trying to fix our schedule and make sure that we still finish on time. It's just going to be really hard. They're all tough projects, but this is going to be the really tough project that we're going to have to work through to make sure that we land on time and get it done. And it's just, and I think the most successful way of doing it is not hammering on the contractor, realizing that this is our contractor. We need to have this contractor be successful. We need to support them, but we also need to hold them to account. We have a contract that gives us all these tools to do that. And the last thing I'll say about this is in that contract are really severe liquidated damages. So the liquidated damages are penalties to a contractor if they don't finish on time. And in this particular case, I believe the liquidated damages for this project go up to $180,000 a day. So that's got their attention, and that's a great tool for me to use to encourage them to be excited about our project and pay attention to it and apply the resources that they need to finish on time. And I intend to use all those tools to make that happen. But I'm also committing to you that this is going to be a tough project, and it's going to be tough to finish. But I believe I have the commitment at the highest levels of that organization, the general contractor, to see it through to a successful completion. Councilor Tivnan, I hope that was an appropriate and okay answer for you today. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, David. The discussion that we just had is almost identical to what was done Tuesday evening at the Tuolumne Valley Water District board work session. So the questions almost verbatim, the answer almost verbatim, and I'm glad you brought up the liquidated damages, Mr. Kraska, because that was the final thing that I hadn't heard yet, and you brought it in at the end. So please continue with the rest of the general manager's report. Thank you.
Yeah, will do. Thank you for the questions. This is very helpful to me in terms of how I communicate with the board and just tell you what you need to know. So the next slide is, I believe, the steps we're taking. Oh, it's one more thing about what we know about the contractor spend. So what this graph is showing you is from October of last year to just this past June, the anticipated spend versus the actual spend. And so if you look at October there on the leftmost part, the blue bar there is the contractor's anticipated spend. So just a little short of $4 million. The red line, our expected spend for them was north of $6 million, and they spent that. And so we figured October, this is great. And then they got into November where they expected to spend a little bit more than $4 million. They spent a little bit less than that, but we expected $6 million. But again, like I said, our schedule different from their schedule, that's something that we're just working our way through. But then when you look at December, now we've got a problem where they expected to spend about $7 million. We expected maybe a little bit more than six, and they actually spent three. And so that was kind of the first sign that something's off here. And then you can see that as 2023 went on, they really struggled to get up to $5 and $6 million, ending in June at around $5 million a month. And so if you click one more time, Joelle, so that's where our $35 million comes from. You compare the blue bars to the green bars, the contractor's anticipated spend to their actual spend, that's the $35 million hold that essentially that they've dug for themselves. And I shared this when I talked to the executive at Sun yesterday, and he acknowledged it, that's real, and that he's aware of it, and they understand what the problem is that they need to fix. And so great, we're all on the same page as far as this is going on. Now you might ask me, so how did this happen? And I don't know all the details in terms of what's going on the contractor's side, but here's one of them that I think occurred, is in November of last year, the contractor had their first concrete pour. It was the very first one that this particular contractor had done, and the quality of it was quite poor. And our team out there, which we have some amazing professionals out there working for us on the construction management and construction inspection side that caught this and called it out and let the contractor know this is wholly unacceptable, that they cannot proceed with concrete quality of this type, we're going to reject it. And it took some effort for us to really make them understand that we meant business on this, and it caused them to like go, yep, you're right, this is wrong, we need to fix our operations, and we need to do better quality. And I think that caused them some challenges in the front end of 2023. I think they had to bring some additional people with experience out onto our project to train the staff that was actually working on our project, and it slowed some of the production on the early phases of this project. I think on the outcome, on the balance, it's a good thing, because the last thing we want is a plant that's built quickly but with poor quality. I'd rather have a plant that's built on time of high quality, and that's what I'm fighting for. But I think that's one of the causes of the slower spend in the early part of 2023 that I'm optimistic is going to ramp up as 2023 goes along. I'll stop for a second, see if you've got any questions about this slide. Nope. Okay, next slide. So the next slide is what we're doing about it. So a few weeks ago, I met with my team on our side, on the program side, out there on the site, and explain to them, this is what I want to talk about. I want to find out if everyone sees this the same way I do, and if everyone understands how big a problem this is and what we're doing to fix it. And I was thoroughly impressed that my team had already figured out a plan to address this and fix it. And go ahead and click the next one, Joelle. And not only had they come up with a plan, a multi-step kind of phased approach in terms of how to deal with all the schedule issues and how to get back on track with schedule and be able to project that they're going to finish on time, not late, that they've actually worked through that plan and agreed upon it with the contractor. So they have the contractor on board with coming up with this plan. Now, obviously, it's too small a graphic, you can't read it, but the first iteration of this multi-phase stepped approach here was going to finish in December of this year. Basically, work through all these challenges and details, come up with a new schedule, a new plan, and then, great, go execute it. And they actually work with the contractor to figure out how can they get that done quicker. They're going to be done by the end of October now with this plan. And so as this plan unfolds and as they come to agreement, I fully expect to present this to you as they're making progress on it and what that new plan is and what kind of the hallmarks of it are. Next bullet, Joelle. So one of the things that they need to resolve are three time impact analyses. So there are three things that the contractor said, these things have delayed us, and we need to agree on what a reasonable delay is to agree to. One of them is this ductile iron pipe thing that I mentioned to you, and that is a real delay, and the team just needs to work around it, needs to find a way to get the project done in spite of that delay. The other two, I think, are going to go away, because I think we're going to reject them, and the contractor is just going to have to agree that that's not our problem, that's their problem. So one of them is this underslab pipe encasement. They've claimed some constructability challenges with it and everything else like this. I'm watching it, want to watch the cameras now. It's getting built now. I don't think that's going to be any real delays at all. And this other thing is the ductile iron pipe related delays. They're claiming that because we had to change the materials, this changes how they handle and store the materials and everything, and that's causing them some delays. My understanding is the contractor is going to be withdrawing that claim and working around it, and it's not going to be an issue for us anymore. So there still is the ductile iron pipe delay that they'll work through and figure out through this plan how to address it, how to work around it, essentially. Next bullet, Joelle. Then there's schedule quality issues. So in terms of the quality of the schedule that the contractor uses, some of the as-built dating, some of the technical details of actually building a construction schedule that my team needs to work with the contractor on to resolve. So we know we have a tool we can count on and use and run the project by. Then the last one, you notice I put in-time completion will likely require acceleration. There's a couple things I want to present to you here. Notice I have in-time in quotes. And so I'm using that intentionally. I'm saying in time instead of on time. So I expect, with any construction project, you have float. Float means the project's going to finish here, but we have some flexibility that if it finished later, then that's okay. That's called float. And in every contract, the owner owns the float. We own the float. So I don't think the contractor is going to be able to finish the project here. I think they're going to basically be eating up all the float we have. And so, but it'll still finish in time to support our commissioning and startup activities and our water supply integration so that we'll be operational in time. I think that's just the reality of the situation that we're working with in the market that we're working with some of these material issues, labor issues, and everything else. And the other part there that I mentioned is about requiring acceleration. Is that I think that means the contractor might have to work more hours, might have to work on Saturdays, might have to work on more elements of the project simultaneously than what they were planning. And so what that means is a couple things for us, is safety is non-negotiable. Sometimes when contractors accelerate, safety kind of goes out the window. And for us, it's going to be non-negotiable, and if they have to accelerate, they have to accelerate, but we're not going to let them fall below any standards regarding safety. Quality is non-negotiable. So sometimes when contractors accelerate, sometimes quality takes a dip, and we're not going to allow that to happen. But it also might mean that we need more staffing, because it's really important that whatever the contractor is doing out there, we can observe and be aware of what's taking place in real time. So we're going to have to work closely with the contractor in terms of what their plans are to get back on schedule to make sure that they and us are staffed properly and it's being done safely and at high quality. Stop there for a second, see if you have any questions before I give you one more slide on this topic. No questions? All right, so the last slide is one that I think Commissioner Judah was addressing. Is we said we were going to spend $430 million and we only spent $280. You know, it's one thing to say that, you know, are you going to finish on time? And that's what I tried to cover in the first part of my presentation. But the other challenge is, what about the financial planning for TVW Hillsborough and Beaverton? You know, they were expected to spend all this money in this fiscal year, and now it's got to be pushed to the next fiscal year. And it creates kind of like a financial operational challenge or burden. And we don't like being part of that. You know, we want to do better, essentially, on the program. And so I've got a few bullets to walk you through that. One of the things that we're going to do is account for the differences between our schedules and P6 and the contractor schedules. When we prepared baseline 7.1, that was the basis of our financial planning for the last fiscal year, we did not have the contractor schedules. Now that we have them, we need to do a better job of informing our spend during the year and provide better forecasting. And we're on it. We're going to do that. The next thing that we're going to do is take account of what happens in the field on a monthly basis. So on a monthly basis, as changes happen to the contractor schedule, we account for that in terms of our spend reports so that, again, the finance departments at TVW Hillsborough and Beaverton are informed in terms of what the real-time spend is going to be for the coming months. The last part is basically just to say that this is going to be hard, that we have this baseline preparation effort that we go through every year, and the way that happens, it's trying to have perfect alignment with the actual spend timing is going to remain a challenge, it's going to remain elusive. So let me walk you through. Every year in the September, November timeframe, we collect the data for the next baseline. Right now, we have a baseline of $1.6 billion, and we expect to spend it over these years. And that's the baseline that we update every single year. And so right now, or in the coming months, we're going to be collecting the data for that. In January, we go to obtain approval from the management committee to bring that baseline for board approval. February, April time is when this board will evaluate and approve the baseline. And then April, June, partners update their financial plans for the new baseline. And in July, we're off and running. So in July, we're running with information that was generated in September, November. So a lot happens, especially the speed of that we're working here. There's a lot of changes that occur. So not only it's in July, but it's going to be happening in July 2024, but that baseline is used all the way out to July or June of 2025. So you can see that the information that's used to develop the baseline is pretty old. And I'd say that in the early days of running the program, the first 8 years, first 7 years, that this worked okay when we were spending lower amounts of money and we had design contracts and things like that. But I think our experience this year is that our standard way of using the baseline and using that for our forecast and everything probably isn't adequate for informing our financial planning in the years to come. So we're working through all of this so that we can do better going forward. But I just wanted to let you know that that's as much as I have to tell you about it today. Is this is all the things that we're working through to try to correct and try to do better forecasting going forward so that we don't have a repeat next year or the remaining years of this program, which are only three, frankly. So that's it for this part of the presentation. Before I get to the construction updates, to see if there's any last questions about this underspend report.
Dave, this is Commissioner Judah. I'd just like to say, not only are our water departments or our districts your partners, so are we. So Commissioner Tibnall, Commissioner Duggan and myself like to beat you on the head to make sure things are going correctly. But yeah, keep us informed. We're your partners here. We have just as much vested interest that this is on time and successful as you do, even though we may not show that sometimes or often enough. Lastly, I'd like to say, if we are at risk, there's got to be a point where we draw a line in the sand and say, we need to start making contingencies if we're not going to be done on time. I remember all the reasons that this project is put forth in the first place, and I would think TVWD has the largest interest in this being done on time, but that's not to downplay everybody else's interest as well. So I don't know when the appropriate time is, but you know, contingency planning doesn't happen overnight. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that this is happening given the scope and scale of what we're doing in all of the different parties that are playing a part in it, and then factor in COVID and the fallout from that and supply chain and inflation and labor issues. It's a ton of plates spinning on sticks anyway, and then you throw all that in and it's almost unavoidable. So I'm not shocked by anything you presented tonight. I'm curious if you have any go-tos of other folks that have been through something similar to this that might be wise, and if there's any peers out there in the industry that have run massive projects like this, because I know this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to manage something of this scale. I don't know if you have a network of folks that can say, oh, did you think about this or that, just because how often, unless you live somewhere like LA, you know, how often do projects of this magnitude really happen? So I'm curious if you have any buddies that you can contact to give you sage advice along the way, or the team that's working with you on this.
Yeah, appreciate the support, the understanding, the feedback. I have some buddies. Yeah, you know. Of heavy civil projects to finish late. I know myself personally, and my team takes great pride in that, and us not being one of those projects, and us finding a way to land it on time. And we really want to be part of that. in terms of other resources they have out there in the field. Our program manager Stantec and their sub consultant Carollo both have deep beds of benches of experience on massive infrastructure projects like this. And frankly, like I mentioned, our contractors. This is not the first rodeo for all of our contractors. As big as we like to think we are, like for example, Sunt, $420 million project, you'd like to think, wow, this is the biggest thing they have. They have half a dozen 420 or larger million-dollar projects all over the country. And so as big as squeaky wheel I like to think I am with them, I also am realistic in terms of really how much pull I have and what sort of leverage I have with them. And so, and then again, you know how weird the market is, that we might like to think, you know, we're paying the money, we need to like beat on the contractor, just get him to perform. That's just not reality in the current market. We need to understand that these contractors are our partners. We need to find ways to help them be successful. We need to inspire and encourage them to be successful and find ways to do that. I thoroughly believe that this contractor is on board with finding a way to do that. And we're going to keep managing it on a day-to-day basis with folks in the field, with me a little less so, as long as my team's on top of it, which they are. They don't need me there every day. Councillor Tipton, I hope that helps.
Oh yeah, and I appreciate that answer, and also just what you said. It's trying to stick the landing on something like this is no small feat, and I just appreciate all the work that's going into keeping a hold of the steering wheel on it.
Thank you. Yeah, we have, the way I like to see it, we have 2 more years. That's not much time, but it's also not 1 year. It's also not 6 months. We have 2 more years. We still have an opportunity to actually be successful at this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the time to give up. It's the time just to dig in and fight and find a way to make it happen. And we're inspired to do that, but it's going to be really hard. So we're working on it, and I commit to reporting that to you on a frequent basis, and we'll figure out how to do that more frequently. Just to loop back to Commissioner Judah, when should we start contingency planning? I don't want to tell you we're going to fail, but I would say start contingency planning. It's never too early. You know, it's like we never know when the earthquake is going to happen. Well, but we should still have the water stored and the spare food and all these kinds of things for whenever it might. As much as I'm confident we're going to finish on time or in time, life still happens and things still happen. And so it's low cost to have a backup plan, to have contingency planning. And I know Nikki at Hillsboro and Tom at TBWD, Tim today at Beaverton, they're really good at contingency planning and thinking about that, and the region as a whole, just understanding what we're trying to do to make sure we have backup plans. It's always a good idea. So if it hasn't started already, I'd recommend starting it with the hope that we don't need it. Anything further, Chair Duggan?
No. Continue, David. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So now on to the construction updates. So I've been talking for a long time today, so I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, and so we can get back to the rest of the meeting today here. So go ahead. Next slide. So again, the same 14 projects going on all over Washington County. Next slide. And here's the progress bars that we're making. Just broadly, we're making a lot of progress on all of our projects. The bars look different lengths and different sections. These are different sized projects, so it's not really, you can't really compare one to the other, but we're making good progress in all of our projects. Next slide, start off on the raw water facility project down at the Willamette River. And this one, the bullets there kind of summarize all of the activities taking place right now. Installing the CMU block walls in the electrical building, beginning to install structural steel embeds in the CMU walls, completed the concrete placement for the transformer slab and the surge tank slab. Electrical sub is working on our electrical duct banks and embedded conduits, began the footer and perimeter wall along the west property line for our security fence, and completed the turnover of the Lowerside Park maintenance to the City of Wilsonville Parks. That might seem like a kind of a minor thing, but finally getting Wilsonville to take back their park so that we don't have to maintain it for them anymore is actually a really good thing. It's a nice achievement for us. So, next slide. This is our upper site aerial showing all the activity that's occurring there, kind of in a little bit more distant view in terms of the span of the site there. If we go to the next slide, we show a closer in look at the electrical building itself. There in the center of the photo, you can see the walls going up in several lifts and the various rooms that are being constructed within it. The slab on the right-hand side of the photo there is going to be for all of our transformers for all of our electrical gear. The slab on the lower left corner is actually for all of our HVAC equipment. Electrical gear generates a lot of heat, and if you don't manage that, it can burn up prematurely. And so we have excellent ventilation equipment for all of our electrical gear. The slab in the distance there in the upper left there is for our surge control facilities. And the space between our surge control facilities and the electrical building will be our standby generators. So making good progress on this one. Next slide. This is the footing for our security fencing around our electrical building. So you can see kind of by the scale of the workers there just how substantial the footing is for our security wall. So this is really substantial security for our electrical building, which is appropriate for something as high value as what we're building out there. But we're making really good progress on this. Next slide. Moving on now to PLM 1.3, our pipeline project through Wilsonville there, shown on the right-hand side. On this one, we completed our tunnel and carrier pipe underneath Wilsonville Road. That was a great achievement for us. Continuing our 66-inch open-cut waterline in 95th. So far, we have 3,600 feet installed. And starting the open-cut waterline in Kinsman Road. That's that segment on the lower part of the graphic there on the right. Next slide. So this shows basically our footprint in Wilsonville on 95th Avenue. We take up a lot of space in Wilsonville, but we've made great progress in installing this pipeline in really kind of a difficult part of the city. It's concrete panels that we have to cut through there to install our pipe. It's in an industrial area, so they're always having traffic, and so it's been a bear to get this work done. But they're pretty much just about done with all the work in 95th Avenue. So it's great that we've made as much progress as we have so far. Next slide. This shows our carrier pipe being installed in the casing pipe that's been installed underneath Wilsonville Road. So we have one more one or two more trenchless elements of PLM 1.3. But this one was a challenge because it went through boulders, very, very large boulders underneath Wilsonville Road. But we got that work done. Next slide. Now we're moving up to the water treatment plant that I've been talking about so much, but we are making a lot of progress on it. Our electrical duct bank, PGE, their facility is on the other side of 124th Avenue, and so we had to create a duct bank that went across 124th Avenue, so our team had to basically open cut and create a trench across 124th Avenue in the middle of the night and build that, but all that work got done, and our duct bank is nearly complete there. Up around the whole site there. Continuing our yard piping and concrete pipe encasements, wall placements, grading for the concrete slab around the Clearwell, continued wall and slab for the EQ basins, and continued wall placements for the finished water pump station. Next slide. So I think this is our big aerial of the site, so basically showing all the activity there. And I'm looking at this aerial right here, and I know what the site looks like now. It looks actually quite a bit different than this. So they are making rapid progress on this, and I think the activity is just going to continue to ramp up for all the reasons I've been talking about today. But that's enough said on this one. Just a lot of activity happening everywhere on this site. Next slide. This shows our filter piping that'll be underneath our gravity filters at the water treatment plant. The big 60-inch diameter pipe there that you see them working on is our filtered water pipe. So from the gravity filters, the water enters those filtered water pipes, then continues out of the photo into the UV facility. The hooked pipes in the center of those, between those two big filter effluent pipes, are our filtered waste pipes. So it's a lot of like big piping going in that's going to be basically encased in concrete below the slab of the filter building, and it's interesting to watch the stuff get built because it's stuff you'll just never see again after it gets buried in concrete. Next slide. And this just is another close-up of some of the just kind of aerial from the tower crane that's out there. The square structure there in the center is the UV building, and you can see some of the yellow piping there. The two filter effluent pipes going into the UV building, and then the other pipe coming out to the right there is the pipe from the UV building that'll be going over to the clear well. And you can see all the other yellow piping that's being installed right now in various areas underneath the site to get out of the ground before the winter starts. Next slide. And then finally, I think this is the last construction photo for the treatment plant, is an aerial over the finished water pump station. And you can see the yellow piping there snaking from, that'll be from the clear well to the finished water pump station. But yeah, making good progress here. Next slide. PLM 4.2, as I mentioned, this is our pipeline project in Tualatin and Sherwood Road, that so far all they're doing is just road construction, so I don't have any pipeline photos for you here, but that'll come in about a month. So traffic has shifted, they're moving traffic around to basically be able to enable us to start on this pipeline installation, and along with that, some tree removal, but some other paperwork that we're working on, including submittals, and then again, our work is to start in about a month. Next slide. Oh, PLM 4.1, so more Tualatin and Sherwood Road over to Roy Rogers Road across Highway 99. This one, all of our pipe is installed, so we're happy to say that all of our big pipe is done on this one, and all we're doing now is installing appurtenance piping and vaults, cathodic protection, and the remaining road work that Washington County has to do here. Next up is PLM 4.4, I believe. Oh, 4.1, so just one photo here of the appurtenances. So this is the blow off of the bottom of one of our 66-inch pipes. Very deep construction, but there we have vertical shoring there to keep the workers safe there at the bottom of the excavation. Next slide. And it's so great to see paving to go into this area, and I'm sure all the residents there in Sherwood are really happy to see this too. We're finally turning the corner on this work there, seeing paving. And this way, this is on Roy Rogers Road near Borchers. Then the next slide is looking in the other direction, in the Tualatin and Sherwood Road direction. Click. There we go. This is Tualatin and Sherwood Road section. So anyways, we're starting to see the paving go down, which means our pipeline is in and it's installed. Let's do the paving, the sidewalks, and everything else, and start buttoning that up. It's going to look really nice once they're done. Next slide. Now we move on to PLM 4.4, and this is the rest of the part of the Sherwood there in the northern part. And this one as well, our 66-inch water line is all installed. Just need to connect it on either end, to one end to PLM 4.1 and the other end to PLM 4.3. So testing and disinfection is going to start this month, so making great progress on this one. Next slide. And I think this is just one of the last pieces of pipe going in for PLM 4.4. Now we have all the pipeline installed on that one, so we're not going to be doing any more big pipeline construction on that one, just the appurtenances. Next slide. Moving on to PLM 4.3, a long stretch of pipe down Roy Rogers Road. Completed, as I mentioned, our Tualatin River crossing. That was a very successful piece of work, 2,000 feet of pipe installed underneath the Tualatin River, as much as 100 feet deep below the river. Now the team is working over on Chicken Creek Crossing. I got a couple of photos there to show you on that one. And then constructing more pipeline along the access road, Roy Rogers Road off the Tualatin River Crossing. Still a little bit more pipeline to install there. Next slide. So this is the Tualatin River, or the Chicken Creek Crossing. So in the lower left of the photo there, you see some of the construction activity. That's the construction of the sending shaft to send the Michael Tunnel boring machine across the Chicken Creek, diagonally across Roy Rogers Road to the other side, where you see the other construction activity happening to the receiving shaft. I think the next photo that I have here for you is of the sending shaft. And what we have is the semicircular feature there is called the reaction wall. So it's essentially the wall that the microtunnel boring machine pushes against to make its way underneath Chicken Creek to the other side of Roy Rogers Road from the previous photo. And I think the last photo that I have here for you is of the microtunnel boring machine. The aspect ratio of this photo got a little skewed, so it looks like we have an oval microtunnel boring machine, but I promise you it's a circular microtunnel boring machine. probably 80, about 84 inches in diameter or so. It's a pretty big piece of equipment, but so far so good with all of this. Next slide. Now moving up north to our PLM, our RES project, PLM 5.3. On the reservoir, the slab, the concrete floor slab is complete. And now we have the footing rebar, seismic cables, and concrete pours are actually built. They're going to start doing the wall forms. East valve vault and concrete pours are complete. Flowmeter valve pours are complete. Starting to install some of the yard piping around the site, 4-inch, 8-inch, 12-inch ductile iron. And the water quality building that's going to reside on that site is starting to work on the utility conduits for it. On PLM 5.3, continued installation of our 66-inch water line. 87% of it, of the whole project, is complete, 17,500 feet. And continuing some other features for our 66-inch water line, including cutoff walls, gathotic protection, and restoration of the site once we're done installing pipe. So this first photo here I have for you is of the concrete slab. I'm told from my team that the concrete work on this particular slab for our big 15-million gallon reservoir is probably the best concrete work anyone has seen out there. It's that the Ward Henshaw, who is the reservoir contractor on both this project and our water treatment plant project, really does top quality work, and they've done great work on this one. The next photo shows you some of the details of the wall footing actually, and the seismic cables that'll hold the wall in place in the situation of a seismic event. And so the wall footing, you can see, is a pretty broad structure there, all the rebar for it, and the seismic cables are those curved cables that rise up from it and will reside inside the walls, again, holding the wall in place during a dynamic event like a seismic event. Next slide is just more of our pipeline installation on Grabhorn Road. We've had Grabhorn Road closed for some time now through a permit with Washington County. As we got into the work there, installing our pipeline did some more damage to Grabhorn Road than we were anticipating that we're going to need to mitigate. And also we found that Grabhorn Road was not constructed very well. And some of our mitigations are going to have to improve some of those sections as we got approval from Washington County. So we're going to have Grabhorn Road closed for a little bit more than about another 10 days as we button all of that up. But we're trying to get our work done as quickly as possible and reopen the road there for the residents and everyone else around there. Next slide. Moving up now to PLW 1.3, this project is essentially done, just some final button-up sort of work that needs to happen there as far as punch list and power to button-up creek, Butter Creek turnout site. This one's almost done, almost off the list of projects that I report to you. And next up is PLW 1.2, that's our partner project, Washington County and Corn Pass Road from TV Highway up to Francis. This one as well, all of our big piping is installed, and so including the pipe out Francis to the new turnout for Hillsboro, we're doing the Reedville Park turnout vault and pipe installation though, and pressure testing and disinfecting the 18-inch line that's in Francis Street going to the turnout on Francis. And Washington County is moving forward with the base paving for all of their expansion on Corn Pass Road. Next slide. I think we have one photo for this project. No, we have two photos. So one of the photos, this photo here, is our connection of PLW 1.2 to the PLW 1.1 that was installed some years ago. So it was great to get those two sections connected together, and now we have even more longer run of pipe strung together. So good progress there. And the next photo I have here is just of a unique piece of equipment. No, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Sorry. So this is installation of terminal boards for 48-inch waterline cathodic protection. So just some of the small sort of appurtenance work that we're working on as we button up our pipeline projects. And now the next slide is this unique piece of equipment. So this piece of equipment is used to when you have low overhead kind of conditions. So in a precast vault like this, typically our contractors would use a big excavator to move those things around, but our contractor figured out that with the power lines overhead, they did not have the vertical space really to do that, and they pivoted to use a unique piece of equipment like this that can lift these things without needing a lot of overhead space to do so. So just kind of an interesting sort of a demonstration of other equipment our contractors are using to get our work done. Next slide. Up to PLW 2.1, they're just getting started on this one. This is our last project that we're actually starting. mobilizing and working on our construction park entrance, a temporary rock diversion, a Rock Creek diversion, that we're going to be installing a 48-inch water line, trenchless work underneath TriMet Rail is going to be starting very soon. And so the next slides here that I have you just basically of that work just getting underway. So delivery of our construction trailers, that's always one of the first things that has to happen, as well as development of our staging area. And then the next one is just some of erosion control fencing that's been installed. And so again, just the beginnings of this project, but it's good to get this one underway. Next slide. So now going over to our MPE project. 1.1 is in Western Boulevard, so final paving Beaverton's work there is all done, and some final striping, signage, ADA ramps, and street lighting and signal poles and so on, and punch list for our pipeline in Western. But again, like I mentioned, we still have to connect our pipeline up to the Washington County Supply Line and Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, so that work is to come this fall. Next slide. I think I just have a couple photos of what Western looks like now. So if you get a chance to drive through it, it looks totally different now. It looks really good. And so this is what it looks like in one direction. I believe this is looking north. The next photo is a photo looking south towards the intersection with Allen Boulevard, and it just looks really good out there. So making good progress on this one. Next slide. Tough project here, MPE 1.2, as I mentioned to you, we're about 2.5 months behind on this one, but again, expect on-time completion of the project overall. On this one, 16-inch Beaverton and 24-inch WWSS water lines, open cut installation on Hall Boulevard, that's heading west, 48-inch water line and appurtenances on Allen Boulevard, so that one's going from Shoals up to Western, 48-inch water line appurtenances near lower Fano Creek, and the pressure and flow control building at roof and pond, and then pavement restoration is all the work that's occurring here on MPE 1.2. Next slide. So this is TBWD's pressure and flow control facility there near the intersection of Hall and Olson, and showing that making good progress on the walls and the steel roof trusses in place. Next slide. And just more of our 48-inch pipeline installation along Allen. So like I mentioned, this is along Allen Boulevard going from Shoals out to Western Boulevard or Western Avenue. So making good progress on this. Next slide. And on MPE 1.3, last project to present to you today, 48-inch water line along Shoals Ferry Road. We're heading west from the 217 area out towards Roy Rogers Road, crossing 125th Avenue through Night Work. This one, PGE relocated their work finally at Conestoga, so our contractor will be able to go back and finish that work. And we're also working at the turnout vault in Roy Rogers Road. Next slide. I think I just have a couple photos here of our night work on Roy Rogers Road. This is actually night work, you know, but during the summertime when the nights are a little bit longer, or actually days are a little bit longer, I should say, our contractor can get out there as early as possible and get work done while the sun's still up. So that's what's going on here, crossing 125th Avenue. We had to wait for the traffic to die down in order to get that work done and shut down things that we needed to shut down. Next slide. I think our next slide here is just an overhead shot of that same work, showing all of the equipment involved in getting our 48-inch pipeline installed. Next slide is questions. And so that's it. Sorry for taking so long with my presentation today, but there's a lot of things I wanted to update you on, and be glad to take any questions if there are any.
Done for me, fellow counselors.
Possible to get some video of that boar in action at some point?
Good question. Yeah. I'll test the team to do that. You know, the fun part is seeing it break through. You know, when it actually like comes through. And so we've actually gotten videos of those before, so we can I'll challenge the team to give me some of that I can present next time we meet.
Great. Okay, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Love right. The elliptical boar head. That was quite a picture.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right. Since there's no further questions, we can move along on our agenda. The next item is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have any persons who would like to comment?
Yes,
on the line today?
Not today.
All right. Thank you, Annette. As a reminder, the chat will be monitored for any future requests as we go through the agenda. Next on is the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. Which is kind of ironic since we only have one thing on our consent agenda is approving the June 1st, 2023 minutes. Do I have a motion and second to approve the consent agenda as presented? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Commissioner Tibnon, I second.
Thank you. The board recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you. Up next are our business agenda items, which consist of a single one. That is considering approving task order number 5 to MSA 2019-043 with Consor North American, Inc. Provide additional public outreach consulting services for the Willamette Water Supply Program during the fiscal year 2024. Ms. Walter will present the staff report.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm, as you just summarized it, I'm bringing before you the review and approval of the WWSP's Public Outreach Services contract with Consor North America. It's the amendment for the fiscal year 2024 scope of work and budget. Can we advance to the next slide, please? Thank you. Okay, Barney and Worth, now known as Consor North America, began providing public outreach services for the WWSP back in 2014 under a master services agreement that TVWD issued to them. TVWD set up a master's agreement, service agreement structure to the contract so that the intent was to review and approve the annual scope of work and budget every year. And so under a task order. So that's what we're looking at today. In 2019, the original MSA, Master Service Agreement, was expired, and the decision was made at that point to issue a new MSA to carry us through 2026. So we wouldn't have to put this out to bid again, but continuity of effort and energy, so to speak. In 2019, under a sole source direct appointment justification, again, because we wanted to keep continuity for the program, keeping all the stakeholder relationships that Consort had built up for us with all the property owners and the businesses along the alignment, Consort had been doing such a great job for us that the decision was made to continue under a sole source direct appointment selection for that. Next slide, please. Okay. Task order number 1 was issued back in June of 2019. We've now fast forward. We're now at task order number 5, so the fifth year, moving into the fifth year of the contract. And our projected budget and proposed cost is $531,106.76. It is the highest projected budget scope of work to date under this contract, and because it exceeds the general manager's authority, we needed to bring it to you for the board's approval. With 14 active construction projects now underway, this will be the peak year for outreach services activities under this contract for stakeholders and neighbors along the alignment. And accordingly, this will be the biggest budget year that we are projecting for the scope of work and budget. Task order number 5 covers the period August 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2024. Next slide, please. Okay, just to give you We have the amounts of the annual work orders for this contract in order there so that you can see that our services have increased as construction has increased. And then our new proposed contract amendment and new task order is number 5 there, the $531,106.76. A lot of information there. Stop me if you have any questions. I know it's a lot to work through, but we wanted to show you how it had been increasing as annually as construction was increasing. No questions, I'll go ahead and jump to the next slide.
Well, so this is Commissioner Judah. I'm not sure what other slides you're going to show, but let me ask a question. So first of all, I'm assuming that the number that we're talking about is in the baseline budget.
Yes.
But having said that, because we just spent a lot of this meeting talking about underspend, how does that impact these people's, this company's job when a lot of that is behind on the underspend because it's not getting done? Does that impact how much we're paying them to do? Because they also should have less to do, and I'm wondering why they are underspend.
Not necessarily. They are keeping up, so we are constantly updating not only the website, but constantly keeping the neighbors up to date on what's going on. So as delays are occurring, we are in constant communication with the property owners because obviously if we're not going to be in front of their front yard or in their backyard, as projected, we are modifying and keeping them up to date. So from an outreach perspective, we are on point. This year, this last month of service, we were basically on target within a few dollars. So we haven't let up the speed on the outreach that we've been doing, even if construction. I think it just keeps up that the neighbors ask a lot more questions, and that the neighbors are pelting us with questions, wanting to know what's going on. Very active on even the construction projects that are underway right now at where they should be. Road closures has kept us very busy on outreach, keeping everyone up to date on when the road's going to close, how the road's going to close. And as we had one of the projects where the road did not reopen on schedule, we had to let them keep everybody informed of that. So we've been on target with our actual budget projections for the last few years. And we continue to keep pace with what's going on in the construction side of things.
Thank you.
Most welcome. Next slide. Just to give you a flair for what they are doing out there for us. So an overview of the services Consort provides us. Provides the program under this contract. Consort develops all messaging, written and electronic updates that we post, and you know, we might hand them out at different venues, but also the one-on-one that we're doing with the stakeholders, the property owners, the businesses along the alignment. They develop materials, graphics, and videos on the program. Obviously, some of those are for actual distribution, hand distribution out, but a lot of it is keeping the website up to date as events or activities or updates occur in the field. We're updating the website. Consort assists us and supports us in presentations that we make to organizations, you know, in general, anyone from the community that asks us to come and give a presentation, but also water-related organizations that we normally would give updates to, and our neighboring sister government agencies. We're constantly updating them as well, and they're providing a steady stream of information as it's developing. They update constantly our website, as I mentioned, with program updates on each of the projects. They have assigned staff to each of the projects so that there's a direct point of contact that someone from that neighbor, if we're in one of the particular neighborhoods, that they have a point of contact at all times, that the consistent point of contact for that project. Consort provides a number of staff members for us to use on that front. Again, they update the website on a regular frequency on announcements for public meetings that we're having, any summaries of projects, up-to-date summaries that are going on, and things, very, very timely events when, like, we are closing the road or reopening the road, they're updating the website with that information, so it's very timely and accurate. Any questions on this before I jump forward? Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so in a nutshell, again, the proposed upcoming year is the $531,106.76, and here we've just broken it out by partners so that you can see it in a nutshell for each of the jurisdictions, what the amount works out to. Any questions before I jump to my final slide? Okay, so there we go. So I'll just read before you the requested board action. Consider approving task order number 5 to Masters of Service Agreement, MSA 2019-043, with Consor North America, Inc. in the amount of $531,106.76 to provide additional public outreach services for the Willamette Waterside Prairie Program during the fiscal year 2024. The period August 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2024. Any questions that I could answer at this point?
Thank you very much, Christina. Appreciate that. We have an action before the board. Do we have a motion and a second?
This is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve agenda item 4A as written.
Commissioner Tibnon, second.
It's been moved and seconded. The board recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion passes. Next on the agenda is item B, consider adopting resolution WWSS 06-23, approving a process for the evaluation of Portland General Electric PGE line extension cost agreements, LECAs, that allows the Willamette Water Supply Program General Manager to execute agreements in excess of $500,000. Ms. Bennett will present the staff report.
Thank you, Chair Duggan. So I'll start with a little background. The WWSP team has been coordinating with PGE, Portland General Electric, since December of 2016. That's about 10 years in advance of our program's in-service date. And as you can imagine, our new power demands are requiring the PGE system to build additional substation capacity, transmission lines, and distribution lines, particularly in Wilsonville and Sherwood, to support our raw water facilities and our water treatment plant projects. We've been coordinating on a monthly basis for PGE now, and we're excited to see their progress towards meeting our needs. We anticipate several large cost agreements coming from PGE in the near future, and we're requesting approval from the board that allows WWSP to evaluate the agreements and then authorizes our general manager to approve them when they exceed $500,000. So some background, with the awareness of our power needs, PGE's been working on planning, land acquisition, design, permitting, and now getting into our construction for the system improvements needed to serve us. Today, they're ready to bid and contract the multiple projects that will help energize our facilities. They've forecast that they will meet our energization dates, and helping them keep on schedule really is critical to our success as well. Concerning the costs of the PGE projects, because our demands are playing a significant role in driving the capacity expansions, we do have a responsibility for a share of the capital costs in their substation and transmission line projects. And those cost shares are determined on a project-by-project basis and regulated by the tariffs through the PUC that PGE operates under. There are distribution level projects that we are 100% responsible for because they will only serve WWSS. And I've laid the projects that we anticipate in the staff report. And as you can see in that staff report, we do hold budget in the baseline for these PGE costs, and the anticipated project costs are within the current budget. The first large cost agreement is anticipated to arrive in a couple weeks. It will be for constructing conduits and vaults for the distribution feeder to the raw water facility's upper site. The work is estimated to be about $1.4 million, and the payment request will come in on a tight schedule between identification of the lowest bidder and execution of the contract between PGE and that successful bidder. Time will be of the essence to execute the agreement and make our payment. To allow for accelerated review of this and future cost agreements, staff are proposing that we document a thorough review of each agreement to verify the appropriateness of the project's cost and schedule, its cost estimate, and where we stand cost versus budget to support the general manager's review. And then approval authority would be granted through the proposed resolution, and then this authority would expire on June 30th of 2026. In summary, our coordination with PGE is going well, but we're entering the most critical phase as PGE bids the construction work required to meet our power demands. Approving the proposed resolution will allow us to stay on schedule and do our part to allow PGE to stay on schedule as well, so we can energize our facilities on the time we need them. That was my entire presentation. I'm happy to take questions if you have any.
Any questions for Ms. Bennett? Hearing none, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WWSS 0623, approving a process for the evaluation of Portland General Electric PGE line extension cost agreements, LECAs, that allows the Willamette Water Supply Program General Manager to execute agreements in excess of $500,000. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
This is Commissioner Tibnon. I move that we approve the resolution.
This is Commissioner Judah. I second that.
It's been moved and seconded. The board reporter will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes, the motion passes. Next up, informational items. The next regular board meeting is scheduled on October 5th, 2023 at noon via Microsoft Teams. Communications and non-agenda items. There are no communications or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Therefore, we're at the point of adjournment. May there be no further business before the Board of Commissioners. This meeting is adjourned unless my fellow commissioners feel a need to extend the meeting, or staff has anything that they want to finally say. Seeing none, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone. This is a